I want you to take your Bibles tonight, and if you would, go with me to Acts chapter number 10. Acts chapter number 10. All right. Acts chapter number 10. I guess I'm sitting here watching you guys, and I'm not even there. I need to get there too. Acts 10. All right. Acts chapter 10. What's this about? Well, we did about a, man, I'm trying to remember. I think about an 8-week Bible study, actually, on this chapter. When we were going through the book of Acts, we started in Acts 9 with the salvation of the Apostle Paul. And then we just kind of just went through the rest of the book, Acts 9 to Acts 28. And we covered this chapter and spent about eight Bible studies, pretty in-depth Bible studies, because it's such a pivotal chapter in the New Testament. It's very, very pivotal. Paul gets saved in Acts 9, and then in Acts chapter 10 is the story of Cornelius, the first Gentile to get saved in the book of Acts. Up to this point in the book of Acts, it's been all Israel. And it's been all about calling Israel to repentance, and it's all about how that they rejected the Spirit-filled apostles. They rejected Jesus Christ as their Messiah. They would not heed Peter and the 12's message. And so Acts is a record there in the early part of Acts of Israel by and large rejecting. And that there were some who did believe, but by and large the leadership of Israel wanted nothing to do with Christ. They wanted nothing to do with God's Holy Spirit that He sent. And they rejected Christ. They rejected their king. By the way, no king, no kingdom, right? And so they rejected their king. And they were also rejecting their long-awaited promised kingdom. And of course, we know that was postponed. And we're in the church age now, and one day God's going to resume that program with the nation of Israel. But their rebellion really kind of culminates in Acts 7 with the brutal murder of Stephen. They take Stephen, who's filled with the Holy Ghost, and they gnash on him with their teeth. They stone him. They kill him. And then that's pivotal. Acts chapter 7 is pivotal because that it's like Jesus is standing at the right hand of the Father. Well, the Bible says He would be seated until He rose to make His enemies His footstool. So He rises up in Acts 7 when they stone Stephen, and it's as if the wrath of God, the seal judgments, are about to be unleashed by the Lamb of God. And so He stands up, and the world is now ripe for His wrath. And how does God respond to that rebellion there and that murder of Stephen in Acts 7? Well, God did three things in response to that. All right, let's go to Acts chapter 8, and we'll go back to 10. I'm sorry, I should have had you start there. But go back to Acts chapter 8, and in verse number 1, it says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death," to Stephen's death. That's the Apostle Paul later, right? He's consenting. Man, I mean, he's cheering him on. "And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." Now, that's key right there. First thing, Shannon, that happens, they stone Stephen, they reject Jesus Christ. And so now, all of a sudden, the church is scattered. So now there's these hopes that remnant in Jerusalem, that they would be that remnant that were going to bring in the kingdom. You know, that Jesus Christ would return and that the kingdom would be brought in. Nope, instead, God's response is He scatters the church. And so now this group of believers that were there and they were poised and they were ready to receive that kingdom, God scatters them. Then go to Acts chapter 9. Notice what happens next. In Acts 9, it says, verse 1, "And Saul yet breathing out." In other words, this is what he's been doing. The "yet" means this is what he's been up to. All right? "Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women," didn't matter, male or female, it didn't make any difference to Paul, "he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Suddenly there shone round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, notice how he calls Jesus Lord, change of heart here, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Wow, total submission to Jesus Christ now. And the Christ rejecter, there in the first couple of verses, now he's submitted, he's a follower of Jesus Christ. What do you want me to do? And notice it says, the Lord said to him, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So now get the picture. Israel rejects their Messiah, rejects the Holy Spirit, stones Stephen. And now instead of the wrath coming, God says, okay, I'm going to scatter the church. So the church of Jerusalem scattered. Why? Because there's not going to be a kingdom at this time. God knows that. And so the church is scattered. And now in Acts 9, he saves his chief enemy out of sheer grace, Saul of Tarsus. Okay, so he responds to Israel's rejection. Instead of with wrath, he responds in grace by saving his chief enemy, Saul of Tarsus. Amen, church? Woo! That's a good place to say, amen! Now, Acts 10, let's go over to Acts 10. And now, notice the third thing that happens in response to Israel's rejection and stoning of Stephen. Acts 10, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. This is this man is a Gentile. He's a Roman soldier. All right, verse 2. Notice it says he's a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, a very giving man. And he prayed to God always. He was a praying man, giving man, praying man, religious man, if you will. Verse 3. He saw in a vision evidently about the ninth hour of the day an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid. And he said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Now, church, listen, Cornelius is a man who was searching for God but was lost. Clearly, we know, we did some studies in this, he was not a saved man. He was a man that was following the light that he had thus far been given. The Bible describes him as a devout man. In other words, he was a religious man. He feared God, so he had faith in the God of Israel. You know, he's stationed as a Roman centurion there in that land of Israel, and he had come to believe that Israel's God was the true God. So he was devout. He believed in the true God, okay, with all of his house. And we learn that he gave much alms. He was a very giving man with his resources. And we learn that he prayed to God always. So he was praying to God. So this is a guy that's following the light that he had been given. He's not saved. He doesn't know Christ. He doesn't know anything about Christ. But yet, he's following the light he's been given. Now, God's response to this guy is that God comes and God tells him, okay, you've responded to the light that you've been given. I'm going to send you more light. And so he gives him the instructions. God raises up the apostle Peter. He sends Peter to Cornelius and to Cornelius' household. And at the end of the chapter, of course, we see Cornelius receiving the Holy Spirit. He believes the message of Christ, and he is gloriously saved along with his whole entire household and his friends that were gathered there. All those Gentiles are saved by sheer grace. They don't have to keep the law. They don't have to go through baptism to get the Holy Spirit. They don't have to go through Israel. They are saved by simply believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are several lessons that we learn from this, but there's one very important lesson, I think, that we really need to get, and that is this. Every person, I don't care if you're saved or unsaved, every person must respond to the light that God gives them. We need to respond to the light that God gives to us. You say, Pastor Dan, why is that so important? Well, first of all, if we respond to the light God gives us, God will send us more light. Amen, church? He'll send us more light. And in fact, if you look at verse 24, look at this with me, verse 24, Acts 10. It says, in the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together, notice his kinsmen, and near friends. So he's got family and friends there. Verse 25, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Uh-oh. Verse 26, but Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. I don't know about you, but I like that, don't you, huh? I like old Peter right there, don't you? Peter had a habit of putting his foot in his mouth, but he did pretty good right there, didn't he? I mean, he is that's awesome right there. He picks him up, he grabs him by the shirt collar and yanks him up and says, man, stand up, I'm a man like you. That's good stuff right there, isn't it? Hey, by the way, don't ever worship the preacher. Don't ever worship your life group leader. Don't ever worship the deacon. Don't ever worship anybody other than Jesus Christ. Don't put anybody on a pedestal. Don't lift anybody up. I'm a man, and you know what? There's chinks in the armor, just like there is with you. Shannon and I and Rob and Rich, listen, we're pastors here, and all that speaks of is our position. Like Paul said, he said, I'm the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. All that is that's a position, you know, and it is a great position. It's a wonderful position to be a pastor and to be able to teach the Bible. But I'm going to tell you this, don't ever exalt anybody above what God's word says. And the Bible says, do not glory in men, glory in Jesus Christ. And you know, we need to look to Christ. You got to look to Jesus. And so Peter picks him up by the nape of the neck, yanks him up, says, "Hey, listen, man, I'm a man like you. I'm a man. Stand up. Don't bow down to me. Don't you worship me. Don't put me on a pedestal. I'm a man like you." Now, what's the point in all this? Well, the point is this: when a person rejects the light that God gives them, God is not obligated to send more light. Cornelius responded to the light, and so God sends him more light. I want you to run a cross-reference with me. We're going to look at several verses. Go to the book right before this. Go to John chapter 12. And if you want to, you can stay here, and we're going to be back in Acts. But run over to John chapter 12. John 12. And look at verse number 37. When you reject the light God gives you, God's not obligated to send more light. All right, look at it with me. Let's begin reading here in verse 37. I tell you what, I got the weirdest thing. Most people need glasses to read. I'm getting to where I can't read with mine on. Am I weird or what? But I can't read. I'm getting to where I can't hardly read with them on. So if you see me taking them on and off, it's just I'm trying to survive up here, all right? All right, look at verse 37. It says, but though he had done so many miracles before them, okay, though he had done all these miracles, yet they what, church? Believe not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again. Verse 42 says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Now what you have right here is you have God sending a national blindness to the nation of Israel. But you got to understand, God never does that arbitrarily. God only does that after his word has been rejected. And what's interesting about that is that even after God sends kind of a national blindness and to them, yet we still read that there were some in the group that did choose to believe. And so you've got to look at all the verses in the context. And you got to understand, Christ had done all these miracles. He'd called them to repentance. He'd given them his word. And they had rejected His Word. And here's the principle I want you to get, and what I think we learn from that is, and it's a great thing. I don't remember, I heard this years ago, and I don't even remember where I heard it, but I've never forgot it. Light rejected becomes lightning. I thought, wow, that's a good saying. Light rejected becomes lightning. You know, God sends His light in graciousness to people, but you know what? If they don't receive His light, then what's going to happen ultimately? If people reject His light, the Bible says they're walking in what? Darkness. And of course, we know where that darkness is going to ultimately lead them. It's going to lead them to the place of darkness. It's going to lead them to the eternal lake of fire. It's going to lead them to that place of rebellion, you know, where there'll be no light. There'll be utter darkness. And the Bible says they'll be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. He's light, and there won't be any light there. They'll be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. Why? Light rejected can become lightning. You see, and that's the principle here, is that God said, I did these miracles, I gave you my word, and you have rejected it. You have rejected it. And so then God responds by bringing that national blindness to them. Run with me to the book before that. Go to Luke chapter number 16. Let's go to Luke 16. And here we have the familiar story of the rich man and Lazarus. And you remember the rich man went to hell and Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom. He went to paradise. This is before people could go up to the third heaven. And so they both go into the heart of the earth, but there's the paradise side, and then there is the hell side, the side of judgment and torment. And by the way, if that maybe there's a great series I did a few years ago online that you can go online and access. There's so many great resources for you to grow on our website. But if you go to crbible.com and go to the sermon archive page, there's a whole series that I did. I don't remember, 10 or 12 lessons on the subject of eternal punishment and hell and lake of fire. What does the Bible teach about those things? Why were they created? And so that's the thing here, is that this is before the cross. This is before the blood was put on the cross. So you've got the rich man who goes to hell, and then you in the heart of the earth. You've got Lazarus who was saved, and he goes into what's called paradise or Abraham's bosom. He goes to the saved side, if you will, of hell, Hades. He's on the saved side. And so you've got this story. But here's what I want you to get. Here's what I really want you to see. Go to verse 27 and notice this. There's this dialogue going on. And it's fascinating, really. You know, again, we're on the other side of the cross. This isn't what would happen today. But you've got this dialogue going on. In verse 27, it says, then he said, this is the rich man that's on the torment side. He said, I pray thee therefore, Father, talking to Abraham, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Send Lazarus. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. In other words, they've got the word of God. All right? They've got light. All right? Look at verse 30. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, in other words, raise up Lazarus, send him there, they will repent. Now notice the response, verse 31. He said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, they won't hear the Bible, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. The principle is very simple, and that is if they won't respond to the light God's given them, then they're not going to respond to something like that. And so the principle here that we need to get is that, man, it's important that we respond to the light that God gives to us. I get asked this question. I mentioned it this morning. People will say, Pastor Dan, what about people in foreign countries? And they've got really no written Bible. You know, they've got no gospel witness. What about them? Well, I want you to take your Bible and go to the book of Romans, all right, right after the book of Acts. Go to the book of Romans, chapter 1. And I want you to notice that God has given every person in the world two very strong witnesses of himself. God's given every person in the world two very strong witnesses of who he is and that there's a God. All right, look at Romans chapter 1, verse 20. It says, for the invisible things of him, okay, the things you can't see about God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. You understand about God, who is a spirit, who's invisible, and you understand about eternal things. Notice that he says they're understood by the things that are made. In other words, there's a message in creation. Even notice that creation speaks of his eternal power and Godhead, so that they, and the they is the heathen Gentile nations, so that they are what? Without excuse. In other words, there is light for them in creation, for them to be able to seek after God if they want to. Go to Romans chapter 2, verse 14. Romans 2:14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, they don't have the Bible. Okay, that, remember, Israel was given a distinct advantage. Chapter 3, verse 1, you see that? What advantage then had the Jew? What profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, because unto them were committed the oracles of God. Israel had a great advantage in that they were given the law. They were given the Bible. They were given God's word. They were given prophets. Now, go back to chapter 2. Look at verse 14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, and every society out there does that. Every society out there, listen, you can go into jungle areas, you can go to tribes that do not have a Bible, and they know they shouldn't be killing each other. They know they shouldn't be stealing from each other. They know they shouldn't be taking another man's wife. They know they've got this moral law. Well, where'd that come from? Look at it with me. It says, they do by nature the things contained in the law. These having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law, written where? In their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. And then he goes on to say, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So now, what did we just learn, church? Has God sent light to everybody, yes or no? Yes, he has. He sent light. He has sent the light of creation, and he has sent the light of conscience. Let's see. Let's go to... go run back with me to Acts 14, okay? Acts chapter 14. And look at verse number 17. Acts 14, 17. All right, he's talking about idolatrous nations here, and they were trying to, you know, worship Paul and Barnabas. And verse 16, Acts 14, 16, who in time past suffered or allowed all nations to walk in their own ways, nevertheless, he, God, left not himself without witness, in that he did good, and he gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Hey, again, what do we see? Creation is a witness. When God sends the rain from heaven, and it's coming from up there, that is a witness to people that don't even have a Bible, and they don't have a missionary, but yet they know there's a God, and they know they should seek after him. They know there's a God who is above them that they need to submit to. Run back with me to Psalm 19. Let me show you another passage here. Psalm 19. And notice with me, Psalm 19 and verse number 1. Psalm 19, verse number 1. It says there, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice, creation's voice, is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. So God says, you know what? I've got my creation. And he said, that is a witness that goes out unto the ends of the earth. Now, if God sees somebody responding to the light that he's given, then God, in response, will send more light. The example here is Cornelius. Cornelius is a guy who is following his conscience. Cornelius is a guy that that had a limited amount of light, but what light he had, he was following that light. He was religious, but he was lost. But yet, he's missing something, but he's seeking after the light that God's been given to him. So what does God do? God sends more light. Go back with me to Acts real quick, chapter 10 again. Let's go back to our text. Hopefully you put your bookmarker there. But notice this, verse 36, Acts 10, verse 36. Or let's go up to verse, let's go up to verse 34. It says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by who? Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. What Peter's saying right there, he's not saying that they're saved. He says accepted. In other words, the idea there is that those in other nations, okay, in heathen nations, but yet they fear God. They know there's a God and they fear him. And the Bible says they're following the light that God's been given to them. Cornelius is an example that God will send them more light. See, look down at verse number 43. Notice it says, they preached and they said, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, Jesus' name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Isn't it interesting? Cornelius responds to the light he's been given. So God sends Peter with more light, then he preaches Jesus Christ and him dying on the cross and rising up again. And so Peter here is preaching away, and he says, through Jesus' name, whoever believes on him shall receive remission, forgiveness of sins. The message was not, if you join the church, you'll get remission of sins. Well, if you let me baptize you, you'll get remission of sins. No. God, the Holy Spirit just cuts Peter off right there. He just stops the message right there. And Cornelius, and God saw Cornelius' heart and those Gentiles. They put their faith and their trust in the message of Jesus Christ. And immediately, when they trusted Jesus Christ, God sent the Holy Spirit inside of them. Aren't you thankful the moment you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit? And this is a great lesson for us here. Now, God, there are religious systems out there that teach that God only gives certain light to certain people. God only gives light to certain people. You know, God's got the elect. He's got this chosen group, and God knows who they are. And so God's going to send light to them, but he's going to leave everybody else out there in darkness. Everyone else must remain in darkness. God has chosen ones he's going to send light to, and God has arbitrarily decided who he's going to send light to and who he's not. What does the Bible say about that? Well, let's do a little study. All right, go to John real quick. Go to the Gospel of John again and look at chapter 1. I'm going to move fast, so you're going to have to turn fast, all right? John 1, verse 9. I don't have time to dilly-dally. We got to move. John 1, verse 9. Notice it says, that was the true light, capital L. Who is that? Who is the true light? Somebody tell me who. Jesus. Now, look at the phrase here. Notice it says, that was the true light, which lighteth, what does that say? Every man that cometh into the world. There is a certain amount of light, the Bible says, that comes to every man. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, which is where we were this morning. 1 Timothy But go over to chapter 2 and now look at verse number 4, 1 Timothy 2:4. It says there that God will have all men to be what? Saved. And to come unto that light. He wants everyone to come to the knowledge, the light of the truth. Go to Titus. Go to two books to the right. Go to Titus and chapter 2. Turn there real quickly. Titus 2. Look at verse 11. Titus 2:11. Boy, you ought to be cross-referencing these verses too, man. They're great. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to who? All men. Go with me now to the right, a few more books, to Hebrews chapter 2. Just go two books to the right, to Hebrews chapter number 2. And look at verse number 9, Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for a few men. Now, how many? For every man, every man. Go to 2 Peter now, right after Hebrews. Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd Peter. We call these the Hebrew epistles. The focus is to Israel and to the believing remnant of Israel in the last days. But notice 2 Peter 3:9. It says there, 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Everybody say the rest of the verse with me. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do y'all agree with me that it is God's heart that everybody be saved? I mean, God wants everybody to have life. By the way, what's the song? You know, there's man's responsibility. You see, you have to understand that the Bible is a book that describes for you God's desires, but then also God gives man that choice. And it's a series of choices throughout the Bible. You see people choosing God, some not. Some believe his word, some don't. Some seek after God like Cornelius, some are reprobate and don't seek after God. But the Bible's a record of those choices. And what I want you to see here is that God has given a certain amount of light to every person. Now it's their decision whether to respond to the light or whether to reject the light. It's their choice. You know, they're, by the way, what's that song that we sing, the old hymn? Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. And we need Miss Rochelle. That wasn't too good, was it? We need Rochelle, don't we? But yeah, send the light. Is it, by the way, if people are going to hear the light, if people are going to see the light of God, do you think there's some responsibility on our part? Absolutely. You see, that's where, you know, God's put the onus on us. The responsibility is on us, church, that we've got to get the light out. We've got to get the light out because, you know, that's God's plan. That's God's will. God wants us to do that. Now, let me real quickly apply this to Christians tonight. If you're already saved, you say, well, this message wasn't for me. You're just talking about lost people. Well, let me apply it to you. We wouldn't want to leave without that, would we? The reason why a lot of believers today are biblically illiterate, and the reason why a lot of believers know very little about the Word of God is very simple. They haven't responded to the light God's already given them. You see, this principle works for us too. Why should God show us more from that book until we're at least trying to live what we know? I mean, why teach 6 times 6 until they learn 6 plus 6? The Bible will always be full of things that we don't understand as long as we will not live according to what we can understand. You know, somebody stands up and they teach us a new truth that maybe we've yet to see. How do we respond to that? You know, do we automatically reject it? Oh, that goes against everything I've heard. That goes against my tradition. That goes against what I've always been taught. That goes against what I've always thought. Well, that's just pride and stubbornness. Listen, if somebody can take the Bible and somebody can show me in context where, hey, Pastor Dan, you know what? This doctrine, man, you're wrong on this, because this is what God's given us and this is the context, it's to the church. And man, if I'm wrong, you know what? My heart ought to be, I want to be right. I don't want to be wrong. So tell me where I'm wrong so I can get it right. That ought to be my heart, you know? And I tell you, it was such a blessing, you know, the Bible conference that we had. And I was able to get together with, you know, about 20 guys on Monday and Tuesday from around the country that just love the Bible. And I learned from them. Man, it was awesome, wasn't it, guys? Wasn't it awesome over there? We spent about 2.5 hours on Monday and Tuesday morning, and it was so great. You know, I learned from Stephen, and I learned from Mike as they preached, and it was such a blessing. And I told Stephen, I said, you know, that passage in Philippians 3, I said, I've been saved. I've taught through Philippians many times. I said, never, ever have I really fully understood that one verse that uses the word apprehended about 3 times, you know. I never really understood that fully. Completely until tonight. I said, thank you for giving us that. Said, that was really good. You know? And so we just need to have that heart to learn, to receive, and to want light. You know, I want light. I don't want to be in darkness. I want light. So if I'm in darkness and I'm wrong on a particular subject, enlighten me. Show me where I'm wrong so I can get it right. You know? And it was such a blessing being around those guys, because some of them gave testimony. That, oh man, they said, you know, I had come from this, you know, particular religious tradition or whatever, and man, God just opened my eyes to see a lot of things in the Word of God concerning, you know, just many of the things that we talk about here, and they were just so excited, you know, and just so thrilled about it. And these are guys, you know, that I'm sure that probably wasn't an easy thing. It's not easy to turn loose of tradition, is it, church? It's not easy to turn loose of something that you thought you were right about, and then you got to say, I was wrong on that. That's not an easy thing to do. I've stood behind this pulpit before, and I've taught you things, and I said, hey, you know what? I taught you 10 years ago on this subject, and this isn't what I taught you. And I've come to the conclusion I was wrong, and I apologize. And I've had to do that many times through the years. And, you know, sometimes I'll listen to a message from 20 years ago that I preached, and I cringe. And I think, wow, I can't believe I said that, you know. But you know what? Here's the deal. If a guy's preaching the same way that he did 20 years ago, then you know he hadn't grown. That's pretty sad. If you're preaching exactly the same things you preached 20 years ago in just the same way, then you know that guy's not growing. You know what? Because we're all a work in progress. Can I get an amen? Huh? Aren't we all a work in progress? Aren't we all learning and growing? And I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. You know, you wouldn't be back on a Sunday night unless you were hungry for more light, more knowledge. And that's why you're saying, I know I'm preaching to the choir. And I know nobody has this issue tonight that we're talking about. We all just love Jesus and want more light. Amen? No, I mean that. I believe that we do. But I think it's good to be reminded of that, you know, is that God wants to take you deeper in your understanding of that book. This morning we had a lady come through the hospitality room, precious lady, wasn't she, Brother Shannon? And she said, I've been saved recently, moved here from Tampa. And she said, I know I need to get plugged into a church. And she said, because I want to learn the Bible. And she said, I know I have a lot to learn. She said, now I ask a lot of questions. Is that okay? I said, man, we welcome them around here. I said, you ask anything you want to. I said, you can ask us in person, email us a question. That is great, because that's how you learn, is by asking questions. You know, that's how you learn. Real quickly, one more verse. Go to Acts 17 and I'm done. Acts chapter 17. Let me show you the kind of heart we ought to have right here. Talking about as Christians desiring light. Look at Acts 17. Paul on his missionary journey here. And look at verse number 10. Acts 17:10. It says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Barnabas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went unto the synagogue of the Jews. Uh-oh. Wow, going to go to the synagogue. Usually they don't get too good a response, do they, when they go to the synagogue? They're kind of set in their ways. Don't tell us anything new. We got our traditions. We got our way of doing things. We got our religion. This is the way we've, you ever heard that? This is the way we've always done it, right? Verse 11. Notice, though, it says in Berea, it says these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? In that they received the word with all, and I love that expression. What is it? Ready to, you know, when I pray for the services, that's what I pray for. I say, Lord, I pray the folks that are there at church will have a readiness of mind to receive the Bible. That's one of the things I pray for. And then it says, look at the rest of the verse. It gets better. It says, not only did they have readiness of mind and receive the word, but it says they searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them what? Believed. You see, they responded to the light that God gave them. One of the reasons why we do handouts a lot, we give you materials, and the pastors I talked to said it's unheard of for a pastor to post his notes online. You know, I post my notes that I preach from online for most of my messages, probably 95%. And that's not common. And it's not common to do the handouts. That doesn't happen in most churches. But let me tell you why I do that. The reason why I do that is because I want you to take what you're learning home with you, and I want you to search the scriptures for yourself and check me out whether I'm right or wrong. I don't want you to ever take what I say blindly, hook, line, and sinker. You know what? Don't ever, ever, ever have this allegiance to somebody where you're going to drink the Kool-Aid. Amen? They say drink it and you drink the Kool-Aid. No. You know what? You need to search the scriptures for yourself. Did y'all hear me? You've got to search the scriptures for yourself. You know? And if you think, you know, well, you know what? I don't, that's fine. Call me on the carpet for that. That's okay. That accountability. You see, when you reject light, God's not obligated to send you any more light. If you reject the light you've been given, God's not obligated to send you any more light. You see, every person has to respond to the light God gives them. And what was the principle we learned tonight? Why? Why do I need to respond to the light? Well, because God will send more light. Isn't that a blessing? If you respond to the light, God sends you more light. And you just keep going deeper and deeper in understanding the truth of God. Because you respond to light, He sends more light. Now that's true of the lost, but it's also true of the saved. You got to respond to the light that God's given you.